Down to the item, it says 15, I'm not sure if that's totally accurate, but a blue sheet, tribal fish co-manager presentation. This is a briefing. It's a blue sheet, I think, submitted by Commissioner Grayville. Staff and co-managers will present status of fish restoration efforts in the Columbia Basin by Yakama Nation and WDFW. Mr. Livingston and Mr. Rigdon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I'm really excited here today to be here with Mr. Phil Rigdon from the Yakama Nation. This meeting was supposed to be in Yakima and in person, a little more interactive, and unfortunately, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has put us in a situation where we'll do this remotely, but Phil is prepared and ready to go. As you mentioned, this idea did come from Commissioner Graybill. I think it was based on some of the work that he's aware of that the tribe has been doing throughout the Columbia Basin. I've worked with Phil for several years. More importantly, WDFW has been working collaboratively with the tribe for many years. And I think the Yakama Nation's fish recovery work in the Columbia Basin is very impressive, provides benefits for those who value salmon and steelhead throughout the Pacific Northwest. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Phil, and he'll take over.
Good morning, Commissioner Carpenter and the rest of the commissioners. And I thank the commission for giving me the opportunity to come and talk to you about what our relationship is in a lot of different ways. And first of all, I wish you guys were here in Yakima and we were doing this live, but I really do appreciate the opportunity this morning to have this discussion and talk about what we're up to and our relationship and how important it is to us and the tribe. And so I'm going to try to do this share screen and get all this going. I hope it works.
Looks good, Phil.
All right, great. And so my name is Phil Rigdon. I oversee the Department of Natural Resources for the Yakama Nation. I've been doing this for 15 years. So for folks to know, we're, the East Cascades, South Central Washington State. A significant portion of the state, our tribe ceded, and we retain treaty rights. And this is a better picture of what our ceded territory is. But also, I think it's important to note, we have UNA. And so this 1855 Stevenson Treaties, 12 million acres of ceded land. Our reservation is close to 1.4 million acres. And the role and our relationship with WDFW has had its roller coaster over the history of our relationship and with the state of Washington. But in general, we've helped change that. And so where I wanted to start off with is to understand that, we're one of the June 9th, 1855 was the treaty this last week we had our commemoration of the treaty. And there's 11 articles. Article 3 is the central one. But when you talk about the Yakima people, the first economy of the North was our people. Salilah Falls and the Columbia River were, a central part of what our people have sustained our way of life, our community, the economy, and we traded quite a bit. And so when you look at these things and you see who we are and where we come from, I wanted to make sure and make sure it was understood. About 100, probably 110 years ago, 115 years ago, we fought for our right to stay on the river, to continue to be able to practice and fish. Now, our community is linked to the river. Our culture and our way of life is there. And the first court case before we were even recognized as citizens of the United States, we were in the Supreme Court fighting for our fishing rights in the Weenans case. And it was recognized how important that was to us. And so over the years, I think it's really important for us to recognize that over the years, we have been in the kind of the fight for that treaty right, the fight for what we're doing, the fight for those things. It culminated in, you know, we are the only tribe that is actually a USB Washington with Puget Sound adjudicated fishing rights to USB Oregon lead in the case. Our 14 of our members were the one that started the USB Oregon case. And the real interesting part was back in the 1970s, and our leadership saw that, yeah, we won. The Bologna decision and the Bolt decision said we get half the fish. But they started recognizing that the fish were disappearing in the Yakima and many of the rivers that we depended upon. And so they chose, and they said, you know, we need to have our own biologists, have our own, change this. The state and the feds are not going to do this. And with that, it was a proactive approach. We hired our biologists. We started developing. And so over that time, we've developed and we went and we helped change the Northwest Power Act to make sure that fish and wildlife are equivalent to hydro and hydro and flooding in the Northwest Power Act. All of those things are part of the program that we are doing. So that, with that backdrop, and I think it's an essential part, our leadership also said we're going to send people like myself off to get education. And so a lot of our members are now becoming the biologists that have been learning from our elders on the teachings of fisheries, but also learning from the biologists and moving the science forward. And the thing is over time, it's changed our relationship with the state of Washington. Instead of always kind of being on the enforcement fight, and we still have problems with those things, we now work together collaboratively, and it culminated in kind of what we call the Yakima Klickitat Fisheries Project that started, you know, over 20 years ago. In that fisheries project, we took over the lead management of the Yakima and Klickitat drainages, and doing that, our partners were still the co-managers of WDFW but we took over the, you know, doing the restoration and doing pushing the agendas that we're doing. And I think that they're important parts of what we're doing. We use different resources and our partners with such as Bonneville Power Administration and the other partners to look at you know, building what we call supplementation facilities, building the science and on which hatcheries and doing the things to move those type of things along in a positive and productive way, to put the priorities back in not just the Yakima Basin, but in the Columbia Basin, of doing and getting salmon back to where they are. To understand, you know, we have over 250 employees now. We, you know, just in the Yakima by itself, there's the facilities that we have are, you know, we just opened up the Mel Sampson Coho Hatchery out of Ellensburg. We have the Clayon supplementation facility. We have, you know, you go down to Prosser we're dealing with a bunch of things down on the reservation on Toppenish Creek and the Marion Drain Hatchery. So all of these things are a critical part. And one of the big relationships is we took over management of the Klickitat Hatchery. It was a Mitchell Act hatchery. And so those things are really important to us. And so the work that we're doing, these are the a lot of the different species, the salmon, the coho, the sockeye, the lamprey, and many, you know, all of these species are traditionally very important to us. And I know I'm missing some steelhead included into that. So there, when you look at all of the different places where the tribe and the work and all those things, it becomes substantial over, and this is just over 2008 to 2019, you know, 11 sub-basins and, you know, over 1,500 different sites or working locations that we're working on with our partners and with the state on these projects. And a lot of work on, you know, continues into the different things on the reservation too, through the Yakima Basin, Wenatchee, Inyet, Methow, down into our southern territories and the white salmon, and Klickitat, Rock Creek, and a lot of those areas. And so I'm going to move through some of this kind of quickly just because I wanted to make sure we have some time. But I won't, but the magnitude of the work that we've got going on is something I think is really important to see. And that's why we're showing some of this. But the habitat restoration, improving, putting log woody structures into channels, trying to get rid of non-native species, using other tools to get rid of those things such as prescribed burn. Kind of dealing with fencing along drainages or meadows or those things that provide important things. But kind of the big picture stuff that, one of the big things is the Yakima Basin and this passage at Lake Clem was a huge one. We were partners with the state and helped with, getting the Tianaway Forest as part of the big thing in the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan. The Bateman Island Causeway. And when we talk about these, I'm going to turn some of that over to Mike when I get more into those. But right now we're doing the Lower Yakima River Chinook Smolt Study that is probably tied to the Bateman Causeway and helping us define what we need to. Like I talked about the Klickitat Hatchery, the Simcoe Mountains, predator management and broodstock issues. All these things are part of this broader conversation. Some of them are not always good between us in our relationship. And I will make sure I talk about a few things that I think my leadership would want to make sure I bring up. But we have a SAS and Trains annual report. And so we use in a lot of this information to what we do. So let's start with the Yakima Basin. And this report kind of goes through how many miles of and acres and those kind of things. And I'll let you guys look at that. And if you ever have questions, get a hold of me or some of my staff, like Paul Ward or Dave Blodgett or Joe Blodgett. And we would be more than willing to get you there. But just some, on the reservation, we have Toppenish Creek wood projects. And we've done a bunch of these type of things where we put wood and trying to create complexity that will add into a floodplain, changing the floodplain to interact how it once did. We're up in the Tianaway. And when the Tianaway was purchased, where it was very important for us to start putting wood and start doing habitat and start getting roads out of places that they shouldn't be and start helping the recovery. And the thing is on the east side of the Cascades, it's always been hot and dry. And these floodplains were an essential part of the complexity of why salmon always did well, second only to the Snake River and how many fish come up there and salmon come up into to the Columbia Basin. And so why was that? Is because these floodplains interacted with the groundwater that stored water. And so that it's kind of those things that we are fighting for and hoping to get to into the future. And so when you look at, the 90s to the 2000s to the 2010s, we're slowly seeing the increase in the returns that come past some Prosser Dam counts. And that's an exciting thing to see, but it's nowhere near what used to be there. And we want to see the hundreds of thousands of fish coming up the Yakima, not just, but to see that we're making progress is really important. But it's not, 2015, the drought in 2015 taught us that there is a huge amount of risk yet. And there's a huge amount of things that are there. And so to use an example, sockeye was extirpated back in the early 90s because of the dams that blocked it. And I will go into more of this, but it is through our work with WVFW, our work with the other partners in the basin, with actually the other tribes, the Okanagan tribes in Canada, and under agreements, we actually start taking some sockeye out of Priest Rapids and planting them. We built the science over time. We had lawsuits with Bureau of Reclamation, and we're doing this. And the real cool part is, right now you got a lot of really cool activities happening there. Steelhead is one of the big important parts. And when you look at the Yakima Basin, Sadus and Toppenish Creek are on the reservation. and those probably have the most salmon or steelhead populations there. We were trying to restore the other populations because steelhead is the listed species in the Yakima Basin. And so using science and trying different things such as the kelp reconditioning program, we're taking steelhead that have already spawned, we capture them and we recondition them and they actually create more eggs and they go back out and they respawn. And it is a program that we're using is innovative, and we're now using not just in the Yakima but in other areas. We're putting a summer Chinook program. The reach is between Union Gap to Sela Gap are some of the best or the greatest opportunities that we think to have naturally Chinook spawning there. And so these programs are part of the full species approach that we're taking in there. Fall Chinook, kind of the lower parts of the Yakima Basin, which has a big risk because of some of the things that we see with water quality, temperatures, and those kind of things. And that role that we have is really important to us. And so here's a good picture of where summer Chinook are and where the fall Chinook are when we do our red observations. Okay. We have the Levi George Clam Supplementation Research Facility, and our people are out there. We're managing and manage hatcheries, but it's not just, it's about enhancing the salmon runs and providing opportunities for our members to fish, and also to make sure it's understood it's for your members to fish as in common in the treaty with citizens of Washington State. And so I'm going to speed through some of this to make sure I get through the presentation, and I hope you'll look at some of these things. But now we've got the Coho facility just outside of Ellensburg, and it's these programs that are going to help supplement, to help the restoration as we do the implementation for the habitat. We get the access of the rivers for the fish. We do the things such as Clayon Fish Passage and those kind of things. We're going to move to Klickitat now. And the Klickitat drainage, most of the Klickitat drainage is within the closed area part of the reservation. It's pretty much well protected, but there's been a lot of degradation, and we are working and doing habitat work and doing treatments and trying to protect and enhance salmon. Klickitat is one of the most important fisheries for our people. It's one of the last places where we have the dip net type of fisheries that was once part of the Columbia River significantly. And so so we have habitat strategies to do work. We're one of the projects on the reservation, it was White Creek. This was an important part of steelhead and other salmon population enhancement. And so here's more of the numbers onto what we're seeing with the annual harvests, and to understand, you see the opportunity in the Klickitat, because the Klickitat only has one dam that the fish have to really go over, the Bonneville, and so I think there's enormous opportunity, and we're building that, but the challenges of some of the Mitchell Act hatchery and doing that, we're working with Bonneville Power Administration and you guys and these things to help fix those facilities and to put them in the program that we are working on in the ACMA, and we're hoping we'll have the kind of things that we'll see. And so the Klickitat hatchery, it's a spring Chinook, fall Chinook, and Coho. And as much as this is a mitigation for what was lost in the Columbia River when they put in the dams, and so it's an important program for all of us. And we actually do the Castile Falls Fishway, and this is the fishway where we try to get fish into the headwaters of the Klickitat, which all this is wedged up in the closed area part of the reservation. But to understand, we've done a bunch of work at the Lyle Falls Fishway, trying and This area is going to be the area where we're able to do the pit tags and do a bunch of the science work that we normally do. And so it's an important part of the overall program. But one of the things that I think is a cornerstone and really needs to be discussed, and I've talked about with probably each of your directors for the last 15 years, or since 2008, we did an agreement, and the Yakima Nation took over the management of the Klickitat Hatchery. We used different funding sources through NOAA, the state, BPA, and everybody to improve these facilities. We're still working on design and doing those things currently. But one of the things that I think is really important to us is the property transfer. And that's part of and is likely to come into the future. And I just wanted to make sure the commission is aware that decision is going to come back to the commission. The intent when we started this work was to do this transfer, but also to maintain our relationship as co-managers and maintain the work that we do, because what WDFW does provide here is that common thing. And we also know that the fishery in the Klickitat is very important to the state, as it is very important to our membership. You know, we deal with research, monitoring, looking at predation to all other different habitat utilization, other things that are and how those things are facing. One of the big issues that I think, and I don't want to wash over, we do have issues. In 2008, the upriver false brights were critically, critical. And we were having a tough time, and we were going to fall short, significantly short, on what was what we needed at our facilities, which would have been the Klickitat Hatchery and our processor facility and the Yakima. And you know, at the time, it was a very challenge, and it took us, and we did not get the full facility, but we got it what we think is enough to maintain and keep our program going. But we felt like at times the partners were pushing most of the fish to go other places instead of these important programs that provide fish to our communities. And so I wanted to make sure that this was one of those issues. And as we go into the future, that we maintain the dialogue and hopefully support each other with these things and do not trade away some of the priorities or the broodstock issues that end up happening on the fall Chinook. And it was just a tough year in 2018. But those things are going to come. We need to find a way to communicate and do those things. So we're working on Lamprey. It's an important program. It's pretty cool to see some of the work we're doing. We're doing the same thing with white sturgeon. Our sturgeon program, there was a newspaper article in the New York Times just recently. If you get an opportunity, to Danilla Miller and her team are doing an awesome job. Just so you understand, we're up in the Wenatchee Basin and starting to implement a lot of more projects in the last 10 years, and we'll continue to do that. Here is a Nason Creek project where we've done work. Intiap Basin, here's another project, and you keep on going in, up into the Meta. And so our activities and the work that we're doing through all these things to try to help the floodplains, restore the fish, get fish to get back into there is an important part of the work that we're doing. One of the important things that we see is that our tribe has received, with our partners in the Forest Service, we got a national award to our fisheries program with the Okanagan National Forest, recognizing some of the work that we've done. And the Okanagan National Forest recognize that, and it's not just the tribe; it's our partnership and our work that we do with the state and all our other partners in these things. And just here's some background numbers onto what we see, and we're hoping to see better numbers into the long-term future here, but the program has just been starting up in the upper Wenatchee, or the upper Columbia. And so our programs are just getting, have just been, you know, building up, and we're hoping in the future we will see a lot more successes here. An additional look at the MedDAO and the work that we have there, and those kind of things. Coho is an important part of our production and restoration work that we got going throughout the whole thing. And so one of the things is this was getting kind of a lot of different things going on. I wanted to make sure these were all included so that the commission can really see the broad spectrum of the work that is going on between where the tribe is at and how we're bringing resources and we're finding ways to do and implement the co-management in these basins. You know, doing the steelhead kelp reconditioning in the upper Columbia. But I want to get to one of the biggest important things for our partnership is the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan. And the integrated plan really starts back with some ideas of some folks that wanted to pump water out of the Columbia River and they were claiming that this would restore fish in the basin. After conversations with some of the irrigation districts that don't have the same water rights, they have the B or junior water rights. And us, which our tribe has, half of our water right is A and half of it is B, but the senior water right in the whole basin is the in-stream flow right. And so you go into that conversation, but the one thing is that they sold that just bringing water into the basin would solve all the problems. But the fact is that it didn't solve the fish problems. The fish problems are not just water is a major key role in needing more water in the basin is fundamental. But there's a whole bunch of other things because the fish can't get to where they are and the habitat has been degraded. And so just bringing water into the basin does not solve all the water problems. It is actually a whole array of projects and things that really need to be looked at. And that's when we agreed that we would have we agreed with the irrigation in the Shock Rose Irrigation District and the Yakima Nation signed a joint letter saying we want to go into a different direction. And we laid 7 principles out. And those principles, and they'll be in this presentation, but those principles included storage, but fish passage at all the reservoirs was the critical one, and I'll go into those things. But with this partnership, WDFW has been a critical partner in those things. We have work at Bateman Island, and I'm going to let Mike, when I get to that, kind of talk about that, Tiana Way Forest, Community Forest. Ike is kind of a lead doing that. The bull trout habitat improvements are an important part. We're developing a Wapato Reach Action Plan, and that's for the fall and summer Chinook programs, and also to help us identify and deal with the temperature and thermal issues that we're having in the Lower Yakima. The bull trout issues that Gold Creek Restoration did. And you can just keep on going with the number of projects and the restoration activities that we have in all of the drainages. But one of the more important things for the tribe was fish passage at the reclamation reservoirs. Getting salmon up into these watersheds that a lot of these areas are protected. They don't have roads and development. They're wilderness areas to some extent. But these areas were blocked. And you can see each of the dams that block passage, and you can see on this map that our goal is to get fish back up into these basins and get to allow them to, and not just, doing the sockeye recovery like we're trying, but we want all fish that once we're up in these areas to get back up and to enhance all of the fisheries into these things. And so when you look at this map, the red areas are the reservoirs that blocked by the reservoirs in the basin, and then these other areas are areas that once had steelhead and coho and many of those species that were lost because of smaller fish passage issues. And we've been working, and you can see these green lines and some of these other green lines that they should be, there should be more, and probably needs to be updated a little bit more. But that's because we're getting fish passage and we're working through the smaller fish passage things, and that's a very important. And so these things are critical to the vision that we've seen. The storage reservoirs, and, you know, there's always a lot of talk about Bumping Lake and this, you know, this pristine wilderness and all this other stuff. And the thing is that Bumping Lake was the reservoir built that killed the last sockeye that came into the basin 100 years ago. And until we have fish back in there, it isn't this pristine place. It's lost an important part of our history and our story for the people. And so these patterns and this restoration work that we're doing is an important part of the things that we're after. And so after, you know, 100 years of things, there was a lawsuit in the late 1990s, and we sued the Bureau of Reclamation because they were rebuilding the dam that's the Kitsos Dam, which is right next to I-90, if you're coming over to that side of the hill. And right there, we sued them. We wanted to put fish passage, and they said it was just a dam recondition, but they rebuilt the whole Kitsos Dam, and we wanted them to have, and so we... And WDFW actually was the only other partner that came in. They sent a letter in support of us, but we went to court. We ended up into a settlement agreement. In that settlement agreement, we agreed that we were going to look at, especially Cle'Elum and I believe Tyatin, to look at doing the restoration or fish access and those things. So one of the things that came out of it is we put in these flumes. You know, on the spillway at Lake Cle'Elum to see if we can get fish in and out of the basin on a temporary basis. And so we started putting coho to test it. That came back and it was successful. And so in 2009, we reintroduced the first sockeye back into the basin. We caught 1,000 sockeye at Priest Rapids and transferred them up to Lake Cle'Elum. And so in 2011, 85,000 juvenile sockeye migrated out. And in 2013, 800 adults returned. And so we were really moving along really well. Then 2015 hit, and it taught us a real good lesson about what climate change and those risks are. The real thing I always talk about, why I like the Cle'Elum and fish, you know, the temporary flume and the plywood flume is very Yakima and tribal, you know, plywood and duct tape, and there we go. And so it's something that we're very proud of. It's something important. But the real cool part is the state ecology has really stepped forward, and Bureau of Reclamation, and we're building Cle'Elum Fish Passage, juvenile fish passage, and it's, you know, it's going to be like a parking lot for fish to it's got the spiral outtake and the helix, I think that's what we call it. And it's exciting to see. There's a 100-foot hole in the dam right now. And that 100-foot hole, 100 feet across, and they're putting in these things. And it's a costly project, but we believe it's the future of where we need to get. And the program is aimed at bringing sockeye and Chinook and all the species, but coho and steelhead and helping with the bull trout. And these things I think are critical into the work that we're doing. And so the Cle'Elum pull raise, there's a 3-foot raise that gets 14,600 acre feet of water that will be dedicated to fish. And the Yakima Nation actually holds the water right in the basin for fish. So it's an important part. Right now, they've already done and fixed the radial gates, but now they're doing the shoreline protection. I keep on trying to tell ecology and Bureau of Reclamation that you just tell the folks that they got closer lakefront property and we should be fine. But they got to, you know, and we will respect property rights and those things. But I do think that's part of our conversation that we have going on. I would like to at least some, you know, the Tiano. I'm going to turn it over to Mike, and I'll let him talk about the Tiano way a little bit. Okay.
Thank you, Phil. There's so many things going on with the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan, as Phil alluded to. And one of the really big early successes when it got, the plan got launched, was the acquisition of 50,000 acres of in the upper Yakima Basin watershed in Kittitas County. It's just by the town of Cleellum. And that was the largest state acquisition since 1968, when the L.T. Murray was protected. Several interests were after trying to protect that property for years, including WDFW, the tribe, several conservation organizations in the state. It has habitat for spotted owls, deer and elk, large carnivores, including the Tiano wolf pack. Three branches of the Tiano River go through there as well, and there's several creeks that all provide spawning and rearing habitat for Chinook salmon and steelhead. And there used to be bull trout there, and we hope to someday return them there as well. The property was owned by private industrial forest companies, and they were proposing to parcel it out and sell it. And so that's when when the integrated plan folks got together and said, let's add this to our conservation targets. And in 2013, the state legislature did just that, and they provided approximately $100 million to purchase it. It was a significant win early on in the integrated plan, and really something that really put some wind in the sails of all the partnership. Yesterday, during the strategic planning presentation by Jeff Davis and Rob Geddes, one of the commissioners, I can't remember which one of you, mentioned that we need to do better partnerships with other agencies. And I think this one is a great example. The Tiano is owned by the Department of Natural Resources, and then Department of Fish and Wildlife has a conservation easement on it. And the director and the commissioner of public lands at the time signed an interagency agreement that furthered the partnership by saying that we'll do joint decision making. So since 2013, we've been working with DNR and managing that forest collectively. The Yakima Nation really had a big interest in that property because of the potential for restoring aquatic habitat for the water rights there and for the benefit of salmon and steelhead. And so since 2013, they've been investing significant amount of money. Phil, you want to go to that next slide? And so this is Indian Creek, and Phil's crew has been working hard on this one for a number of years, as well as several others. I don't know, Phil, if you want to add something to that as far as the wood placement goes.
And so I think the really important thing is this wood being placed in here is going to slow down the river head cutting that's going into here. And when flood happens, it will actually help deposit and bring the, and so you see all that area in this area here, that used to store enormous amount of water that would slowly release during the summertime into the creeks and provide cold water that would support the fish. Because of grazing or other practices, this head cutting has happened, and this interaction isn't happening to the way it should. Our goal and a lot of our work is to restore this interaction so that when water, it gets stored into these magnificent meadows that actually provide important foods to our people, our Yakima people, but also that water gets stored and is slowly released during the summertime, and that it will play a key role into water in the future.
On the TNOA, one more piece to that, I wanted to link something to another action that the tribe or the commission did yesterday. When Julie Sandberg presented the Tanum Creek acquisition project, that project is primarily a partnership with the tribe and WDFW. Some of Phil's crew has had a long term restoration project on Tanum Creek further upstream of that property. They wanted to continue doing restoration work, but that stretch of the creek is private currently. And so they came to us and asked if we would pursue acquisition so that then the rest of the work could be done. And so just yesterday, when you approved that transaction, it enables the tribe to come in and direct some of their funding to do the restoration work. So it's just kind of highlighting some more of the partnership work that we do together in the basin. Next slide.
And so, oh, go ahead, Mike. I'll let you go.
So on the Bateman Island, this is at the Yakima Delta. So we're going from the headwaters of the Yakima Basin all the way down to the Tri-Cities to where the Yakima River meets the Columbia River. And there's an island down there that sometime between 1939, 1940, somebody built an earthen causeway. So there at the bottom of the island there, you see it's labeled causeway. And then there's the highlighted photo there that shows it. That, in effect, stopped the flow of the river around the south end of the island. This is a complex project because below there is a marina, and that marina is protected by the causeway as a breakwater. But there's significant challenges that this causeway has created as far as impeding flow for fisheries restoration. It creates backwater, warm waters. It provides a real ideal habitat for non-native fish. And it sets up a thermal barrier for our adult fish that are trying to get back up in the river. The tribe's done a bunch of work down there identifying different predators, and some of the, this photo really highlights the fact that those predators, smallmouth bass, for example, channel catfish, are foraging on those smolts at critical periods of time. And then if the causeway is breached, there's been quite a bit of hydrodynamic modeling conducted to understand what impact or a benefit that would have. And there's been some significant understanding now that a breaching would definitely improve water temperatures and improve the flow down there. There's quite a bit of work that needs to be done. And so we've built a partnership that's focused on this project. Next slide, Phil. And so we worked with the Yakimas, with ecology. We worked with the Umatilla tribe that has an interest in this area as well to build a partnership. And we've got an application approved through the Corps of Engineers 1135 Restoration Program. WDFW is the non-federal sponsor on that. And we're working with all the partners in the Corps to start scoping this project out, do NEPA permitting and that. And our goal here is to eventually breach the causeway, improve the habitat down there, but to protect the private infrastructure as well.
Okay, so one of the more important things that we're doing is where are the fish dying at in lower river? And so we're doing a small survival study, and this is between the co-managers. USGS is assisting in this study, and what we're doing is we're targeting, taking fish and watching and seeing where they end up, and watching the mortality and what's where most of the mortality is happening. And you're finding some really interesting things about the small dams for the diversion dams and the impacts that those are having. And with this, it's going to help us make decisions on things to really drive there. But, understanding temperature plays a key role into this thing. How we can, Bateman Island is probably the first measure that could have the greatest impact. And so I hope the commission will see and will continue to support WFW's, work on the Bateman, but also to help push to help us move these things along. There's a bunch of information, and I want to make sure I have time for you guys to talk. So, but the predation, and the study that we're going and the timing, and this model really shows that when the temperature is really good and the flow is abundant, the fish get out of the system. But when it starts warming up, pretty soon the predation starts taking over and having an enormous impact onto the juvenile fish leaving the basin. And, with the things that we're hoping to implement, we're hoping to see a lot better success where there'll be a lot more green and a lot less of the red. And so the diversion and the smolts studies and these pictures show what the impacts from the pelicans to the bass to the different things and what we're doing. This is helping us get to the next steps. And one of the first projects is the boom at at to help get fish to go over the dam instead of going through their system. And so at Sunnyside Dam, that as one of the first, you know, real projects that we think can have a positive impact because of what the data show and what the study has already shown and where the impacts and where we're seeing those impacts. So an important part of this whole thing is why is it working? And it's the relationships that we're building amongst ourselves and the people that are there. And you know, I was talking about Ron Van Gundy. He was the guy. I was walking into a meeting. You know, this was before the integrated plan was in, and Ron was the one that said, "Hey, Phil, can we talk?" And I started laughing because I wasn't sure if I could, because it was only our attorneys that used to talk to each other, and they were, you know, they were the mortal enemies, or we were the mortal enemies to them, right? On both of us. And we signed a joint letter for the Yakima Basin to move into this direction. And that's probably the most exciting thing. The people that have been dedicated, from the irrigators to the co-managers to, you know, our state partners, Ecology, WDFW, Bureau of Reclamation, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, NOAA, NIMS, all of us are driven by this. But we also have the environmental community to the county commissioners. It's a group of folks that really have stepped forward, and we are grateful and to where we're going. And you got to see, you got dogs and I'm a dog, so they're more important. The reg should go away, but that's just me. But you know, we're working together, and it's an important part of the programs that we're going to. I do want to mention a few things that are really important to the tribe. It isn't always, you know, and there are issues out there that we go. What I hope I showed today is the enormity of the work that we're going on. But I do want to mention a couple of things that I think is important. We got challenges between WDFW and the tribes. Yesterday, you guys got a study, and we get astounded on the deer study that the Muckleshoots are having in our ceded territory. It's that kind of thing that disturbs us, we don't always agree with the tagging purposes that the WDFW, you know, we're not, there's just certain things with how that impacts the division of fish between the tribes and the state on those things. And those kind of conversations, I hope we can maintain an open dialogue, because it isn't always, it will be challenging on issues. But more than anything else, that place, that river, our community and our connection to these places is enormously important to us. And our relationship is critical to that. And so I hope we can maintain that. And just to make sure you understand, we don't think Muckleshoot should be doing studies in the Yakima ceded territory. They don't have the co-management status. And I will just say that as clearly as one of those issues out there for us. But in general, our relationship is way too important to where we go with the work that we're doing and throughout, you know, the whole Columbia Basin. And so with that, if you have any questions or conversations, I will hand back the screen to you guys.
Any questions? Oh, Commissioner McIsaac has his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And let me thank Mr. Rigdon for his presentation here today. A lot of slides, a lot of information. Early in your presentation, you mentioned the Levi George Supplementation and Research Facility, and I couldn't let your presentation go by without me bringing up on the old days how Levi George showed so much leadership in the fishery management and restoration and recovery world, and did such a great job for the Yakima tribe and all the things that he did. In terms of a comment, yesterday we heard some kind of doom and gloom talk about the Columbia River. And the public testimony might have been talking mainly about recent years. So I appreciate fact that you took a broader approach, longer approach, many more years, and have such a positive outline when we think about recovery as recovery occurring. You know, in the Yakima, your graphs showed building numbers and introducing summer Chinook and introducing sockeye and reintroducing fall Chinook. The Klickitat, building numbers in your blue graphs. In fact, all of your blue graphs for the Metau, the Intiat, and all the rest showed building numbers when you go back through time. And this is the kind of holistic recovery in terms of fish runs and fisheries that is such a good positive thing. And I'm so glad you brought all that up today. I appreciate your performance. That comes from a lot of hard work, and it's not just from plywood and duct tape either. So appreciate that. And appreciate very much the efforts of the tribe to strive to, they're striving to make things better. Again, I'm taking a very positive take on what you've gotten here to try to make the pie bigger in terms of all the salmon that everybody enjoyed. So thank you very much. No question, just a compliment.
Thank you.
I would like to also thank you very much, both Phil and Mike. Your presentation, Phil, I thought was very informative. A lot of things certainly I didn't know about, and I'm sure other commissioners didn't realize. Lots of work to do, and I can only speak for myself. We want to have a future that's brighter and better for all. The fish, people of all sectors, and we're here to help. And I want to thank you. And I wish we could have done this in Yakima, and taken a tour. That would have been probably more impressive. But what you provided us was very helpful, and I thank you.
So I would just like to say I hope someday when you guys come back to Yakima, and I hope it will be sometime around this time of year, because we could take you up and we handle fish up at the Rosa Dam where we have our facilities, and you can see, like, you know, some of the science and how and the things that our people are doing there. It's really, it's one of the more awesome things to see how the fish come through and how we handle them and some of those types of things. So hopefully someday in the future, we're outside of this, you know, pandemic, that we'll be able to get back into going out and seeing some of the great things that are going on. And it is your, it's not just us, it's your guys' folks that have been, you know, a major part of it. And both of us have had some key folks leave our programs, just retirement, you know, they fasted, but you guys lost at Easterbrook and those guys played such essential roles in helping us. And so our relationship is really important into the future for those things.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the offer to meet up again. Any other commissioner comments?
Chair Carpenter.
Commissioner Linville.
I just want to thank Mr. Rigdon. This was such a treat for me. In 2001, I believe, I was a wildlife biologist for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And one of the wildlife refuges that I was helping to manage was the Toppenish Wildlife Refuge, which is encompassed by Yakima Nation land. And I remember having a tribal biologist come and say, hey, we think you might be entrapping steelhead in your warm, shallow wetlands on Toppenish. And I remember probably, I was very young and probably maybe internally rolling my eyes, thinking there's no way we have steelhead on this refuge. And I went on to pit tag 2,500 steelhead smolt in those shallow warm wetlands on the refuge. And with the help of tribal biotechs, which was a treat in itself. And so I just wanna say that it was just, this is really neat to know that, you know, after my tenure there, this, you know, it's almost like that was sort of the one of the launching points or the kind of the beginning. And just to see that this has gone on and that the Yakima Nation has just done all of this work and this really important drainage. And one of the things that stood out to me was I remember the biotechs, the tribal biotechs talking about how difficult it was to get their own people to get involved with natural resources. And it sounds like that has really changed a lot too, since then. And that's really exciting and really encouraging. And just so it was just neat to see how that, all that work has just exploded. And that's great. And I also want to say the kelp reconditioning is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I was amazed and blown away by that. And so anyways, just thank you for that wonderful presentation. I was really thrilled to see all of that.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindo. Commissioner Anderson?
Yes, you did. I'd be remiss too in not weighing in and making comment here. In my past life, I was with the Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission, started work there in 1985, so 35 years ago. And so over that time, I've had an opportunity to see what's been going on in tribal country overall. I think this is a large portion of what goes on. But, you know, clearly it's broad. Western Washington, Eastern Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, of which the department has partnerships throughout. And so Phil's presentation here really brought out a lot of great stuff, much of which I was not fully aware of. And it really was interesting to see the complexity of what is going on. And very, very important. I think as it reflects yesterday's discussions, the difficulties we're having with regard to conservation and allocation questions and on the river, and you know, this was kind of looking at the bigger picture, as Don McIsaac's mentioned, and to me it was really really helpful and kind of encouraging. The integrated plan, I think, is really huge. I know it's a priority for the department. I've got a number of friends that have been involved with it, and most often it's, I can't make this fishing trip because I've got an integrated plan meeting. So it tells you how important the integrated plan is to a whole lot of different people. So again, thank you for coming, Phil. Thank you, Mike, for presentations as well. I learned a lot, and I'm definitely saving this PowerPoint slide and going to be referring to it and try to get educated. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Melissa and Nikki, I'm not seeing any hands on my screen. I don't know if something's not working, but I see one there, and I got notes that Kim and Bob. So Bob, you're first because you're waving aggressively.
I have my hand up too, Larry.
I'm sorry, who did?
This is Dave.
I would
Dave
let too. Kim go first. Oh. I think she had her hand up before I did. So.
Okay, Kim. Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you. And I want to add my thanks and also mention Commissioner Grayville for knowing a little bit about this and asking for this presentation. I was just in awe when I got the slides, and I have to tell you, Mr. Regan, I was giggling and rolling my eyes when you said plywood and duct tape because of the science that you were presenting. It's so sophisticated. You're asking the questions that your management needs to answer. It really was amazing to listen to it. I do have a couple of very specific questions, one for you, Mr. Egan, and one for Mike. this may kind of put you on the spot. We've been referring to the very tense discussions that we had on the Columbia River yesterday. And I was struck by your comments on the Upriver Brights and what happened in 2018. As I think about a lot of what we do with fishing is allocation, and the terminal fish are always those who are dealing with the terminal portions are always at risk, it seems, of unfairness. And we make our allocation decisions based on impacts. Yesterday, there was a really passionate testimony on not paying enough attention to escapement. And that seems like it was really kind of the issue with the 2018 Upriver Brights that you were talking about. So I just would be interested if you're willing, because it is probably kind of putting you on the spot, to hear a little bit more of your thoughts on that issue.
So just understand, a lot of this issue goes back to the USP Oregon technical and the policy advisory group, and so in which the state is heavily involved in and is a part of that whole conversation. Just to get to understand, the issue came because there were some new programs that were being prioritized, and our programs and how the priorities got set during the escapement issues and all those things added into what we saw in 2018. Everybody has a part into why the problem was created, and I recognize that. But I also recognize that we got to have the conversation to make sure that when we don't have enough, that there's a fairness put out there onto where the fish need to be divided. And I guess that's the main thing that we were advocating for and when the problem created. And that's where we need to have the type of communication that I think we're putting into place, and that we are going to understand some things we'll disagree with, but we're going to push as hard as we can to make sure we don't lose these programs, because that could have happened onto, especially the Klickitat and the Prosser. That scared us, because those fisheries are essential to both the state and to us. There's an enormous sports fishery that happens in the lower Klickitat that I can't believe how many boats I see down there at times. But also to our fishermen, our members are down there, and you could go to Lyle Falls and watch them on the scaffolds over the rocks, and it's pretty awesome to do that yourself, but also to just witness it is something. So I just hope that's more of what I'm trying to make sure is understood, is we are working a change, but these things happen, and these things, and broodstock is right now still continues to be an issue for the spring run because of the problems that we've had this year. And so with that, we are concerned that we are going to be part of the conversation, and we, I guess that's the best way I'll put it. I hope that answered your question.
I also have a question for Mike, but I wanted to also note your comments on the Muckleshoot study. Thank you for that information. We're trying to better understand how we monitor our ungulate herds, and so it was just kind of presented to us in that context. But thank you for that information. And then, Mike, very quickly, I was looking at your photograph on the Teenaway, we need to do yellow-billed cuckoo callback studies there. As you know, that's one of our state-imperiled species, and boy, does that look like yellow-billed cuckoo habitat. So, just a suggestion.
Never would have thought of that.
Yeah, kind of. That's a commissioner. That's an interesting one. We haven't put on our list to do out there. Lots of other surveys going on, but we can definitely check with our wildlife program diversity folks to see if they want to do that.
Yeah, Jason and Scott and I can all go out and do the callback.
Okay, before I go on to next commissioner, Commissioner Anderson, do you have your hand up again? They got the hands working on my screen. Oh, you're done. Okay. We have Commissioner Kehoe, Commissioner Smith, and Commissioner Graybill, you get to do the wrap-up. Commissioner Kehoe.
Okay, well, thank you. Mr. Rigdon, thank you so much for the presentation. I wish I was in Yakima, your beautiful part of the state, and that I'm here in a spare bedroom in
kind of cloudy, rainy Seattle. So I know the commission will get to come to Yakima at some point in the future. So, and I too want to thank Commissioner Graybill in bringing this blue sheet forward. Boy, did we need some good news after, as Commissioner Thorburn said, and kind of a contentious discussion about our state's Columbia River policy. And it's also encouraging to hear about kind of the good working relationship between WDFW and the Yakima Nation. You know, here in Puget Sound, we've got a lot of challenges, as certainly you do. I think, you know, how you talk about the need to collaborate with all partners, including WDFW, I think we need to put more of that in practice here in Puget Sound. And so that's very, very encouraging. And I think something that we should all kind of look towards and have in the back of my mind is that it does work, and it can work, and it should work. So I wanted to mention that. So kind of, I wanted to get your perspective on an issue that has come up in our Columbia River discussions, and that is mitigation hatcheries. And some thoughts about improving, where appropriate, we're increasing production for mitigation hatcheries using sound and accepted hatchery practices. There is some discussion or concerns that by putting an emphasis or putting funds and emphasis toward mitigation hatcheries somehow takes away from other activities, mitigation activities, which you helped us kind of educate us today about what all the different projects that your tribe is undertaking. So I guess my question is what's your view on that? Do you think that that by kind of putting more effort and energy into mitigation hatcheries, increasing production there where appropriate, does that in any way take away from the desire to restore habitat?
Well, I think each of these things should be evaluated on a basin by basin thing. But yes, we are advocates of mitigation. USB Oregon has very distinct mitigation measures that were put in there, and that is for our members to be able to catch and have the availability of fish to catch due to the impacts of what happened on the Columbia with the dams. Now, I think an important part is we got to move the science in a different direction all the time, and I do believe that the past practices that have been put into place, you know, where you take and just dump a bunch of fish and you don't use science, I think that's changing, and we need to change those things where we're using acclimation facilities, we're using the best way to bring back fish and that kind of thing, and tackling the challenging issues with predation and the delta problems on the river, and you can just go through the array. So it's all a part of the encompassing thing. Yes, you could do it the wrong way, but that's why I think the monitoring evaluation is a critical part of what the tribe is advocating for. But we believe in that without those hatchery facilities, we would have less available for our people to catch. And that is problematic and scary to our community that depends upon these resources to support many of our families and provide, you know, the food and the basis for a lot of our culture activities.
Okay. Well, thank you very much again for your time on a Saturday, and really good news. I feel better today than I did yesterday after hearing your presentation. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kehoe. Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. And knowing that my fellow commissioner feels better today, that makes me feel better too. but I wish to thank you, sir. You know, all of us as commissioners, we talk to a lot of different groups throughout the year, individuals and that. And a lot of times the question comes up, what is co-management? Does it work? How does it work? And I think it's very helpful, at least it is to me, to hear presentations like yours today. It reinforces my position when I do talk to the public that, yes, it does work. And it's not easy. It doesn't always have an outcome that everybody likes, but we have to work together. We are in this together, a phrase that's being used quite a bit these days. So I appreciate being educated today further about the success of co-management and the challenges. And as one of my fellow commissioners said, nothing beats the seeing it firsthand. So I hope we get a rain check or a COVID check so we can see this in person, because I learn a great deal by a hands-on, and being with your staff would be a great benefit. So again, thank you, sir. And I not only feel better, I feel more educated, and I look forward to a face-to-face time in the near future.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Go ahead, Phil.
And I just want to say, one time we had, what was her? Anne, she was Assistant Secretary over at NRCS, and we handed her a lamprey to put back into the Toppenish Creek, and so hands-on, we love doing it.
Well, that one I can handle. I did surveys of lampreys for fish and wildlife in the Great Lakes, so I would reach into a cage of 500 and pull them out one at a time. And when people were steelhead fishing around me, and I said, "Would you help me?" They ran like scared chickens.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Commissioner Graybill, you get to wrap.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. Phil, I think we met probably 3 years ago at one of the meetings in Ellensburg, and it's good to see you again. I really want to thank you and Mike putting this together. I felt it was important that the commission get an overview of what the tribe is doing in cooperation with the department. I loved Molly's story. You know, I think that really captured a lot of what I felt we would learn today. They have a large footprint. The Yakima tribe has a very large footprint here in Central Washington. Just this last fall, we had a coho season right here on the Icicle, right in my backyard. And that was thanks to the effort of the Yakima tribe. And you saw the habitat work that's being done throughout this Columbia Basin and far beyond the borders of the reservation. Really exciting to me too is the sockeye reintroduction program in Lake Cleellum and what they're planning for the future. Sockeye are an extremely valuable resource, and it's exciting to see that we're going to have more of these wonderful fish coming back to our region. This is a major, major project, and they've done a wonderful job acquiring the funds for fish passage and other things. This, Phil and Mike, I have to say, this was more than I'd hoped for in terms of really showing people what's going on here in Central Washington, much to the benefit of all the residents of the state of Washington through the cooperative efforts of the department and the tribe. Thank you so much for taking your Saturday. And Mike, thanks again for working with Phil and getting this put together. It was a terrific experience seeing that. I will be saving that PowerPoint. There's a lot of information you tried to rush through, Phil, but my goodness, it really exposed, I believe, myself and other commissioners to the scope of work that you're doing to the benefit of everyone in the state. So thank you again very much.
Mr. Livingston and Mr. Rigdon, thank you very much. I think it's fair to say we all appreciate it. Look forward to positive things in the future. Thank you.
So can I just say one thing? I want to first thank Commissioner Graybill for bringing this and allowing me to come to do this. And And the last thing I want to make sure is I recognize my leadership and the people, the staff and people that work under Department of Natural Resources that work on these things. They're an enormous part of this whole thing, both the leadership and those folks. And so, and thank you for your guys' leadership that allow us to do this too. And I appreciate this opportunity to give this presentation. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a good, safe weekend.
Thank you.
We're now scheduled for a break, but I think it looks to me like everybody's in their spare bedroom, according to Mr. Keel. So I think we can just skip that. And people, we can have what our previous chair Smith called the rolling break.